All right, the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, can we just quickly jump to our feet so we declare the word of God to start the teaching of the word together this evening. 1, 2, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now, that healing is real. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And I feel like emphasizing it today. As the word is coming forth, healing will come to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If your knee is disturbing you, your knees, today, healing has come to it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You came here, it was painful. By the time you are going, you will even forget. It's when you get home, you now realize that, this thing has gone. That's how the word works. You will receive that today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will manifest the power of healing for you today as a result of the entrance of his word in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. All right, the pursuit of God, that's what we have been looking at. We began that a few meetings ago, and we want to continue with that today. And I'd like us to take a text from the book of Romans chapter 4. The book of Romans chapter 4, please open your Bibles. When we finish reading this, I'll just review one or two things we said last time. Now, let me just, I think I should do my review first. What I just want to say, or let me just say what we are doing before we do the review. What I want us to just realize is that we have to follow God aggressively. That's what I want to say. We have to know what's important and pursue that. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing that you need in life will be added to you. I said this last time, let me say it again. People often miss the focus of those words of the Lord Jesus. For example, Jesus will say, give and it shall be given unto you. People will now say, now if you want to be given unto you, start giving. You have missed the focus of the Lord Jesus. You have missed the focus. His focus was not on receiving. His focus was on the giving. So if a man goes out to do the giving because he wants to receive, he will not get the power fully manifested because he's missed the focus of the Lord Jesus. Are you getting my point here? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. He was not saying, seek first the kingdom of God so that the other things will be added. He was focusing on, please, don't worry about the other things. Focus on seeking the kingdom. The other things are those things that just come around along with it. They are never this target. But many people miss the point. They now say there are spiritual keys for having your need met. Start seeking the kingdom. Meanwhile, what they are actually seeking is the other things. The seeking of the kingdom is a method for them to get other things. Their hearts, their minds are still locked on the other things. They miss the point of God. Are you getting my point? And many times people look at scripture. They say, for God so loved the world that he gave. You see, anytime you give, you receive plenty. God had only one son. Now he has multitudes. They miss the point again. The point of the Lord Jesus was so that they would not perish, but have. It was not so that God can have a billion other sons. Please, you are getting my point here. So we must realize what God is really laying emphasis upon. And like my brother said in that meeting in Lokaf, we must emphasize what God is emphasizing. If you emphasize what God is emphasizing, then you'll be blessed. But if you don't emphasize that and you start emphasizing something else, you miss the power of grace. And that's why many of us are serving God and we are still frustrated. Why? Because we are saying this is the thing we are doing so we can have this other thing done. And God has given me a word for you this season. Forget the other things. Focus on the main thing. The people that God is interested in, he said they are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. It's not just that they know some principles, but they are faithful unto death to the Lord. They are faithful, even if God doesn't give them anything. That's what they are interested in, to be pleasing to him. Like we declared at the beginning, he said we want to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, to bear fruit in every good work, and increase in the knowledge of God. God is not a tool we use to meet our needs. were created to serve him. And what is most important, what must be most important to us as believers, is that everything we are doing is pleasing to him. It's not, God, what do you give me in return? I keep on saying this thing. I think people really need to have their brains washed from the opposite. The concept that, why do I go to church regularly? So that God can give me a blessing. Forget going to church. Forget it. If that's why you are going. Why do you go to church regularly? It must be because it is pleasing to God. It must be because that is how I acquire a deeper knowledge of him. Next time, maybe, I don't know that next time, but very soon, I'll talk about the pursuit of knowledge again. The knowledge of God. It is not the knowledge of principles. It's the knowledge of God. And that, you find that is spiritual power. What you know is spiritual power. It's not just principles. It's just like Moses said to God, I want to see you. God made Moses pass by, he hid Moses in a rock and he passed. And what did he hear? He began to hear declarations of the name of God. And that was him seeing God. Are you getting my point? That is what God gave to Moses was a knowledge of him. He said, I'm God, the merciful God. He began to describe himself. And that was supposed to satisfy Moses. And like, we'll talk about the names of God. We'll come back to these things again and again. All right? Well, we'll understand the name of God. That is an example I gave. You are raising children, always emphasize to them that the food they are eating is a gift of God. When they grow up knowing that God is provider, if they give thanks for an empty plate, food will show up inside it. That knowledge, spiritual knowledge, is power. It's power. Now, please, I'm trying to say something here. So why do we go to church? It's to acquire the knowledge of God. Why do we do things? It's so that we'll be pleasing to God. It's not so that we can get things from him. Because I live in this country, and because, you know, sometimes you don't detect things from what's going on around, I am so convinced now that there was a reason why God said, of course, I always knew there was a reason why God said I should go to Enugu, right? I know, I always knew. But now I'm beginning to suspect some of the reasons. Like I said at the beginning, you walk around and hear Christians talk, and just realize that if everybody talks like this, listen to this. I'm not joking what I'm about to say, all right? Now listen, it's a warning. You realize that if everybody talks the way a lot of Christians are talking, one day, you know, see, you heard all that noise in that was in the northeast, Boko Haram, wiping out villages. Are you getting my point? Bomb blasts getting as far as Kano, all right? Even into Abuja, Bauchi, all those kind of things, Yola, all right? We had a lot of peace in Enugu. Are you getting my point, okay? Now, but you know, there was a time, Abia State and Anambra State, they were very hot with kidnapping. Abia State was bad at the time, you remember. They embarrassed good Lord Jonathan in a good way because they kidnapped the whole busload of school children while he was attending the UN function. That was when he unleashed JTF on Abia State. If you remember that, okay? Now, do you know that time, Abia State, churches didn't even have offering again. But there was nowhere to come and bring money to give. All doctors in town disappeared from Aba. Because they were kidnapping them one after the other, murdering them. The ones that were still alive disappeared. All of them came to Enugu, went to other places. Abia State was hot. There was no peace to him that went out or him that came in. Great vexation, according to the Bible. Now, I'm bringing out something. The way Christians talk like unbelievers, like ignorant people, if it continues and it reaches a climax, all these troubles I've described, we feel Enugu, we feel Oka, we feel Owerri, we feel everywhere east of the Niger. And then we'll continue where we began from, pointing fingers and blaming people. And if the rest of the country continues and joins, a time will come, we'll become like Syria, we'll become like Libya. It is not impossible. The devil is sowing the seed right now, and he's been doing it for a long time. It's just that some of us have been raised up to kill that thing before it germinates. It was when I listened to believers talk, I said, Jesus, was this what people were cooperating with? Listen, when you go to some of these places that are disturbed, they don't know they are responsible. There are some of them are still pointing fingers that America came here to scatter us. We're at peace. People said all kinds of things. It was when America invaded Libya, problem because Iraq, problems began. Forget those problems are generated inside. The external forces that come to make it happen are just manifesting a decree of the Almighty to fulfill the things that the people deserve at such times. What I'm trying to say, Christians have to be careful. And that's why I began to teach. We must pursue God. Forget. Look, one of the things I realized is that as believers, if your talk is not different from those who are around you, you are wrong. I don't need any of that. That's all you need. You go to the office, they don't pay salaries, you say the same thing as the unbeliever around. You don't need prayer, you are wrong. The weather is bad, you say the same thing as the unbeliever around. Listen to me, you are wrong. You're a man, you go to work, your wife annoys you, you respond the same way the unbeliever around responds, you are wrong. You don't need anybody to tell you you are wrong. How do you know you are wrong? Because you have joined, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Last time I heard pastors talk, I told you, talk to a friend of mine. I said, you are now a Marsup prophet. I hope you know that. I said, you're a Biafran prophet. That's what I told him. Is he right or wrong? I don't know. All I know is that I couldn't distinguish between him and the unbeliever in the bar. That is, if I went to 8 hours downstairs, exactly what he was saying was what I would hear. That is how you know you are wrong. People listen to you. You are a Christian. Then they go down to a bar where people are getting drunk, where women of easy virtues are hanging around, where smoke is in the air, they are smoking and they are dancing to all kinds of rubbish music. And they say, what do you think about the country? And they utter the same words that you are uttering. Shame on you. You should be ashamed of yourself. Listen, Christians, if you read on our website, what is Kingdom Word about? It's a Kingdom Word Ministries. The aim is to separate the church from the world through the teaching of the truth of God. Like I always give as my best example, a Christian wants to marry, he or she is using the same criteria concerning who will be my husband or my wife as a friend that's not born again, and you think you are going to heaven. Yeah, when you marry, that marriage is going to be hell. Because the God of heaven hasn't spoken to you. You have refused his counsel. Then how do you want to pray for his blessing tomorrow? Another thing I should tell Christians before I'm going to do this message. Jesus said something which many of us overlook. He said, if you are ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and his holy angels. I want you to understand, shame of him differs from place to place. Maybe amongst Muslims, you'll be ashamed to say you're a Muslim, a Christian, that don't kill you. That's one area. But right now, shame of him is this. You know the truth, but you're afraid to oppose people. That's you're ashamed of Christ. You can't open your mouth and say to people, this is the wrong way. I told you there's something, you know, there's a chat group I belong to, just the only one I belong to, where there's not a Christian chat group. And that's because they're my classmates, you understand? They're my classmates, just, you know, because we did our 25th anniversary last year, so they created a chat group to prepare for it, and the thing is still going on, and of course, I'm a member. But one day, I told myself something, but even before I joined them, I noticed that 90% of jokes made about, that's 90, 99% of jokes made about marriage, go and check it, they are negative. No, go and check it. Just think about it now. Most of the jokes you hear about marriage, they are very negative. They are very negative. They tell you that one man said that, how have you sustained your marriage after these 25 years? He says, very easy. My wife and I go to the movies twice a week. He said, yes. She goes on Mondays, I go on Fridays. Are you seeing that? It's funny. Is the twist in it that's funny? But actually, he has told you that men and women, a man and a woman don't get along well. So when they are going to the movies, they go separately. They drop it in your heart. We laugh about all kinds of things. You understand? I read one today. Man said, a woman said, I should have married the devil. He'll be a better husband than you. He said, hey, wait. Oh. If you try that, they will put you in prison. She said, why? Because it's wrong to marry your relative. I read that one today. That is. Now I'm going somewhere. They tell those jokes. And I found out that more than 9 out of 10, on the average, is negative towards the institution of marriage. So sometime last year, I told my wife then, You know, before, sometimes you get a joke, you show to people, you know, you share it. I said, henceforth, I'm not laughing about marriage jokes anymore. Are they funny? Well, the one I told now, it was funny. But I don't laugh anymore. If you told me that, I'll be looking at you like, are you all right? It's deliberate, though. I also think it's funny, but I just told myself, I will not laugh. What is wrong with it? I just said, look, why do I want to play, you know, let's joke about other things. In fact, one day, somebody dropped another joke like that. So I now responded at my class chat group. The fellow who stole the joke said, why are you taking everything so seriously? I said, it's not about everything being taken so seriously. I said, it's a decision I made that henceforth, I won't laugh as you mock holy things. There is what is called holy. Are you getting my point? I told them, I said, have you noticed that you don't joke about your father like this, but you joke about your wife? I said, it's just a decision I've made to stop mocking holy things. Are you getting my point? There are jokes people crack. It involves God. I look at it. If it does not edify him, I calm the joke down. I don't laugh about it. I leave it. It's a deliberate thing. So that day, I just told my people. I said, why do we like to joke about important things like this? I told them straight. I'm talking about refusing to just follow everybody. I said, I know the response was not surprising. Yeah, what is wrong with you? Why are you taking everything so seriously? I said, for your information, I have been married for 17 years. And because that joke, there was a context with it, you know, so I can't even remember it now. I said, my wife is my number one fan. I've had a nice time in 17 years. Of course, there's been ups and downs, but it has been a wonderful time. And I said, do I have a witness? A chat group of over 100 people, I didn't get one. Yes, sir. Did you hear what I said? I said, do I have a witness? Not even the women came out to support me. Because that joke was mocking women. I noticed that everybody went flat. The only response of Banky, why are you taking everything so seriously? I told my wife, come and see. Can you see nobody gave me a thumbs up? That is the reason why I made up my mind. Next time you crack joke about husband and wife, and it's derogatory, I don't laugh. It's a decision, not as if it's a sin. It has become a sin for me, anyway. I just don't laugh about it. I said, stop mocking holy things. Stop mocking holy things. Let's joke about the stock market, it's funny. Let's joke about MMM, it is funny. Another thing, my wife, if I think about it now, you crack jokes about the head of state, I don't laugh. If you say anything negative about the head of state, I don't laugh. I will correct you there and there. What is funny? Many people have seen the head of state has died. I've warned all of you that if you rejoice in your heart that a man is about to die, you will lose money. That's the best God will do for you. Because if he responds to you according to the intent of your heart, you won't like it. So I dare Christians, stand up and be different. You're in a chat group, they toss one of those jokes down and say, no, as a Christian, I'm sorry. The other day, one of my brothers, you know, he called me and, you know, we just discussed some things. That day, he said he belongs to a chat group, they are all Christians. And they had the kind of attitude towards the country. So I said, look, speak up, talk to them. So that morning, he talked to them. There was something I think I even wrote that he forwarded. Anyway, that morning, he talked to people. He now called me later. He said that he was so impressed. In fact, he forwarded some of their responses to me. That look at the way these people are responding. They say what you have said is true. Because one person stood up and said, let me be different. But many of us, if everybody is yapping the head of state, we open our mouths, talk like unbelievers and join. He said, you are the light of the world. There's nobody to give them direction. They are walking about in darkness. The light of the world closes his eyes and moves around in darkness like unbelievers. Thereby polluting the power for redemption that's in the atmosphere. And it's supposed to be the light of the world. Listen, it's time Christians stand up and be different. That's what I'm talking about. Speak up boldly. I like the prayer points that our brother Okemute took earlier. Let us pray for the head of state. A man traveled. They said, he went for holiday. You think he is sick? If he is sick, is it not prayer he needs? There are Christians saying that he should die. And I feel so sorry for them. Even if your power of witchcraft is able to kill the man, you have sown a seed into your own destiny. Because if everybody gathers together and issues forth their spiritual power, people will die. That's why Jesus said that if you bind something on earth, it's bound in heaven. Christians can bind. Sometimes I look at some of our brethren who God has given the charge to evangelize the Middle East. I say it can't work until God changes the people that are leading the advance of the gospel into the world. Why? All you need to do is watch their TV. You know, the Muslim can never believe as long as the Americans are the one championing the gospel. The Muslim can't believe. There can't be revival there. It's not possible. Forget all these lies we're telling ourselves. They'll be sprinkling here and there. But when they tune the airwaves, come on, we lock down the power of God. I wrote an article about it, which I called the limits of God. We say to them simply, God is a God of the Jews. He hates the Arab. He hates the Muslim. He has given the land to the Jews. And then you now say they should believe. If you were you, will you believe? You preach, if it was you, you believe. Why don't we just open our mouths and tell the truth? That in Christ Jesus, there's no Jew or Gentile. Is that not what the Bible says? But we will say, no, the Jews are of God. I don't know where we just carry some lies, perpetrate the lies, and believe the lies. When the Bible, that scripture says clearly, if you're outside Christ, you're an unbeliever. And all the promises of God are only yes and amen in Him. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. But we don't preach it. I'm going to emphasize something here. What I'm going to bring out is that we have the power, all right, to hinder God from moving. And I'm saying right now, in this country also, we also have that power. And the way we Christians, except those of us that have light, stand up and lead those who are in darkness right, this country is not going anywhere. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. We are the light. We are the light. The only way your light is effective is you get up and shine it. Right now, most of the church is in darkness. This interesting part, they feel self-righteous, but they are as corrupt. In fact, they are more corrupt than the world. Why? Because corruption is not their nature. Are you getting my point? Let me give an example now. If me and a pig have the same amount of debt on me, who's debt here? Are you getting my point? If you see a pig rubbed with debt and mud and, you know, everything top to bottom, and me, I just have a quarter of that, who looks debt here? It's me. Because a piece of that has no part in me. So it stands out. In the same manner, right now, I think the church is generally more corrupt than the world. Why? Because corruption is not its nature. So, like I was in your house that they were discussing. If an unbeliever bypasses Nepal light so that AC will not pay, they are of their father the devil. Is it not so?
Yeah.
When a Christian does it, he's a thief. God finds it more horrible. When a child of God does that, it is stealing. The same people will come out. Are you getting my point? And be saying that what is wrong with APC? Are you mad? You are a thief. You're asking what's wrong with APC. The same people will come out and be preaching and making noise and pontificating against even the society. He's not paying NEPA bills. He's stealing. Let me not descend on the pastors this evening again. Who twists the scriptures? Anyway, God is... I told you... You know, Crepidola is in Lagos now preaching. I've heard a report of his messages. I was happy. The man talked, it spoke that all these titans people are doing. Better relax, giving because he want to get. There's revival in the land. My friend called me. He said, Banky, everything you have been preaching, Crepidola is saying it right now. He said, coming from a man like him, a lot of credibility has been given to those truths. He said, I have to go. The next session is starting. Crepidola is in Lagos now, sharing the word. The Lord is good. What I'm trying to say, Christians, look, we're talking about pursuit of God. This is the season. We are not following God because we want to get something from Him. Let me say something to you. God owns you from the top to the bottom. Every breath you take is a gift from Him. every breath. One of the most interesting organs in your body, you don't realize it, is the heart. You know why? Of all the solid organs, it's about the first to be formed. By the time a woman knows she's pregnant, the baby's heart is already beating. That is why the church fights all these people that make noise about abortion. They say, you don't understand. There's a heart beating. It's not a piece of flesh that you don't like. There is a heart beating. Listen. Normally, by the time a woman knows she's pregnant, by date, all right, she's 6 weeks. Because usually you have missed her prayer for like 2 weeks. By that time, the baby has been there for 4 weeks, actually. The heart starts beating after 3 weeks. So the heart has been beating for at least a week before the woman suspects she's pregnant. Now, that's not the gist. The gist is that it never rests. If that fellow lives to be the age of 100, the heart did not rest for 5 seconds in 100 years. From conception. If you don't know why to worship God, I've given you one. Just say, Lord, today I want to worship you. Say what? For heartbeat. And today's one is for the ones before I was born. No, I want to worship you today for the one before my mother knew she was pregnant. Father, we worship you. One whole week, heart beating. The mommy did not even know I was there. We worship you and give you praise. What am I going to explain by all of these things? Because of my profession, sometimes it marvels me. It marvels me. I teach disease of the heart to every student I teach. I teach them that particular part of it, all right? And I said to them sometimes that it is not that the heart has a problem that's the issue. It's why it was working in the first place. That's what we should be concerned about. As for these problems, we can easily explain it. It should have problems. In fact, if I was one that designed the heart, it should fail after like 2 weeks. You call Odechukwu, come and fix it. This heart is not beating again. And it will be normal. And nobody will think I did a bad job. But it keeps working. There's a reason why I'm emphasizing this again. That is why we don't negotiate with God. And we will serve you, you will bless us. God say, eh? Hey, let's have negotiation. We'll start paying for it. Oh, I just want payment for the heartbeat before your mother knew you were there. How do we pay for that? It's not possible. The heartbeat, the breath we take, everything that functions in our bodies, believe me, we can't pay. He owns every bit of us. We don't give him 5,000 and we're asking for what will you bring back? God said, this 5,000. I'm still trying to check how to pay for one heartbeat. You are talking about what will I? We serve him with a willing heart. We pursue after him. We want to be exactly like him. Our greatest desire. You know, one day, I just remember something. One day in the morning, I think I was still lying down. My wife came into the room. She had gone out of the room. She came into the room. So I opened my eyes, looked at her, and smiled. She made a statement. She said, that smile is worth $5 million. Are you getting my point? She just saw the smile of a husband lying down. Are you getting my point? She just said, that smile is worth, I think she said $5 million. Let's say $1 million. She said, that smile is like $1 million. Just a smile. Whew, hallelujah. Who says I'm not rich? If they say, how much money do you have? I said, go and bring my wife. Let her count for you. I just look like this. She writes that that's 1 million. There was that count. Now, I'm going somewhere. Why did she say so? She was pleased. That was how she rested. That is, her body responded to a smile from her husband. I'm going somewhere. That should be the thing that is the desire of the life of a Christian. That the Lord looks in my direction and smiles. That's what I'm talking about. Why does he smile? Simple. He likes the way I handle that. Why does he smile? He likes the way I prayed this morning. Why does he smile? You know, there are things you do. God gets excited. In case you don't know, read your Bible. God gets excited. He says to Solomon, what do I give you? Solomon said, all right. God was waiting for the usual. I need a new car. The other kings should not be richer than me. Protect my borders. I want to live long so I can enjoy these 1,000 women. Oh yeah, I was just joking. I didn't marry them that time. Are you getting my point? Give me all the finest wives in town. You know, Solomon learned that habit very early. You know, learned from his father. David was a bad guy in that area, all right? That area, till now, the Lord is embarrassed. Embarrassment. His first 5 sons born by 5 different women. That's a record. The Lord is good. The Lord was waiting for all of those things. But he didn't hear that. He heard Solomon utter something his father warned him about earlier, taught him about. He said, give me wisdom that your work might prosper. That's my own way of paraphrasing it. That your work might prosper in my hand. And listen to me, the Lord got excited. That was what excited the Lord. Some people say it's 1,000 burnt offerings. No. The 1,000 burnt offerings did not excite him. What excited him was that Solomon, I gave you a blank check. What do you want? Have you not seen money before? Have you not seen prosperity? Why didn't you ask for it? Solomon said, that one later. Please, let's ask for wisdom so we can be effective on the throne of our father that you have placed us on. A throne that was established by a covenant, the covenant of David. Ah, Solomon said, I beg. And God was excited. I want to understand that. God gets excited about things. He was so excited, he said, listen, I will give you that wisdom. But beyond wisdom, let me now start packing into your life things you did not ask for. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. There was a day also, another man, that was before that, Abraham excited God. God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love. You know, there's a way the Lord drilled the thing in. Take your son. Okay, I've heard. Your only son. Ha ha. The one you love. Oh, Mary, why are you drilling this thing in? You want me to kill the boy. Must you remind me of the attachment? What do I do? Go and sacrifice him. You know the story. Abraham went and did exactly as the Lord said. Now, many of us don't know. There are two depths to it. Two sides to it. One of them is deeper. One, that he obeyed God. Was good. Was really to. Most of all, Abraham was ready to give God anything. That is good. That is true. But that was not what fully excited God. What fully excited the Lord? He said that Abraham trusted me so much. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That even though I promised and I used the words, in Isaac will your seed be. He trusted me so much, he was willing to sacrifice that same Isaac, knowing that if necessary, I will have to raise him up from the dead. He trusted me so much that my word would never fail. If it was possible for God to jump up from his throne, he did. He said, because of this thing you have done, by myself, I have sworn. In case you don't know what God was trying to do, he was trying to say, I swear by Almighty God. The way you and I would do is, God is my witness. You know, that's what we do. So God was about to say, I swear by Almighty God. He now realized that I am the Almighty God now. So he said, by myself, I have sworn. He was doing exactly what Abraham would have done. But because he was God, he swore by himself. The emphasis, Abraham excited him. Let me tell you the truth. That's the thing that must be the primary thing in your heart. You are doing the deal in the market with your neighbor, with your friend, your customer. You want to buy something. The issue is that how will I handle this deal? And the Lord will nod and say, that's my girl. That's my boy. That's the most important thing. We want to come and give testimony. Praise the Lord. The man thought he could cheat me. He doesn't know the kind of person I am. I say, okay. The kind of person. Say they have found out now. There's nothing like making God excited. It's possible. He can look at you and nod and say, me self, I get picking. I want you to understand that it is possible. It is possible. And it's in everything that we do. I've said it before, all this one that we deliberately, okay, let's go and do something for God. You know, that's what we like to do, offering. Let me give you a special offering. Offerings are good. Somebody say amen. Yeah, the ministry, the work of God needs cash. But that's not what I'm talking about. Every day we make a decision, including inside traffic. There's a way you respond. And God says, yes, that's worthy of me. That's why Paul prayed that prayer. And that's why we declare it all the time. He prayed for the Colossians.
I pray that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. Listen, that must be your target. That's what I'm preaching. That must be the target that we have as believers. That's why we talk the pursuit of God. No, it's not pursuit of God will give me something. Look, you have to get to a point in life in which you say, God, if you don't give me anything, honestly, I will never complain. And don't joke about that. Mean it. When, oh God, you know what they call spoiled children? When you say a child is spoiled. Yes. Many of us Christians, we are spoiled. We don't know the value of what we have. You know, a spoiled child can take an expensive phone. Father annoys him. We just fling it against the wall. In the same manner, many of us Christians, we don't understand the value of what we have. When I pray in all, in fact, my wife doesn't understand the way I pray sometimes. But she's gotten used to it by now. But I really mean it. Sometimes I'm in my car, music is playing, or message is playing, I want to pray. I just shut off the player. I say, hey, Lord, there's something I want to talk to you about. And believe me, the Lord answers you. If I tell you this testimony, you're going to laugh. It's a very funny testimony. One day I was sleeping. My wife said, I should come get up and come and kill cockroach. And I, you know the way it is, you are sleeping. You want to sleep. I got up, I went to use myself. And I said, look at cockroach. It flew across just now. That I felt it. So I put on the light. look at it. Okay, it was a big cockroach. And I wanted to sleep. I didn't know how to tell my wife that, baby, can we look for this cockroach in the morning? I actually want to sleep. So the cockroach ran under a cot. We have a cot in our bedroom. So I bent down to look for the cockroach. I couldn't see it. So I lifted a book. I have a big book there. So I lifted the book up. And I prayed. I said, Lord, please, send the cockroach to me. I'm not joking. 2 seconds later, the thing came out. I ran under the book. I dropped the book on his head and went back to sleep. So my wife came back to the room and said, hey, did you find the cockroach? I just nodded and I continued sleeping. God answers prayers. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. He answers prayers. That's how easy it is for us Christians to approach the Lord. He answers prayers. To approach God, I've told the story here a few times. My wife and I once were watching TV, and we saw the way Hindus try to approach him. And a Hindu man wants to achieve what you have received freely. And he puts himself inside a situation. Like, say, I will not sit for 12 years. We saw these things on TV. And a man will be standing for 12 years. He said, does he not sleep? Oh, sitting means he's not lying down also. So for 12 years, he's in an upright position. Say, how does he sleep? He hung a pillow from the ceiling. Time to sleep, he will lean on it like this. With his chest. And sleep. 12 years. The other one put up his hand and said, I will not bring it down for 12 years. And by the time we were watching the program, the hand had been up for 11 years. That one too had not sat for over 10 years. They had a few more months to go. Many people look at these things and say, these people are crazy people. I like one thing Sadhu Salvaraj said. The same thing Sundar Singh also said the same thing. That the problem, in fact, Sundar Singh was on that same when he went to UK. He said they look at those in India, because they are Indians, as if they worship many gods. He said, yes, it's true. Indians worship many gods, but Europeans worship themselves. To him, I'd rather be in a place where I know there are spiritual things than these kind of people that don't know anything. They just move around in blindness. When those men got to know Christ, they appreciated Christ too. Because, like Moses said, which nation has a God so close? We even have him closer. Are you getting my point here? Christians even have him closer. When I see some things Christians try to do, they call Christianity. I laugh. All the 70 days fasting they do, me? Do I look like it? It's a sin for me to try that kind of thing. God will be so angry with me. Say, Banky, what are you fasting for? He said that we are declaring 100 days. I'll be looking at them like this. Make up your mind. Are you a Hindu or a Christian? Make up your mind. Look at it. Some people do 3 days dry fasting. You're a sinner. Only sinners do that. You must be thoroughly confused and walking in iniquity. For 3 days to pass, and you won't eat, you will not drink, because you want to seek the face of God. You are confused. You are not spiritual. You don't know anything. Okay, when you fast, okay, what now happened? Nothing. Your problem was there. You should have come to see me. I'll give you 2 scriptures. You read it over that problem for 1 week. It will go away. Our sister, she's not around now. She said, as a little girl, she fasted. Said 3 days and 3 nights she was fasting. Israel, was it me and you? Okay, yes. We had a good laugh. At the age of 12, I said they should have called police for your father and your mother. Said my father did not know. What were you trying to achieve? He said it's prayer. At the time, she said I was so weak. Angels came and fed her. Not a joke. When she described it, I wanted to make a joke. But I said, describe that again. When she told me, I said, oh, you don't know what happened. You were weak unto death. So God sent angels to come and give you food. See, I never told anybody till today. Because they will say, witches have come. And that Christians, they could not even recognize angels. I said, for what? Listen to me. I don't have time to go into it. Those things are not Christianity. When we want to approach God, the Bible says we are approaching with what? Boldness. That is why I have the same access to his presence anytime. I just switch off my radio in the car. I say, Lord, there's something I was supposed to talk to you about. I'm driving. No? Lord, let's talk about this. And I know he's hearing me clearly. He even gave a promise before you call. If you think you are going to fast to get God to hear you, you are joking. Better go and eat something. You will just die in the process and nothing will happen. Listen, nothing. Your enemies will still be alive, because God said they will be alive anyway. Because it's true. Why are they laughing? I'm telling the truth. He said he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine. They don't have to die. God is not afraid of them. They don't have to die. They don't have to die. Whatever my enemies is here, you will die. If your God is powerful, prosper. If your God was really powerful, he should prosper you in their presence. They will know who has power. Where the one telling me that one day one girl went and said a cult boy slapped her on campus, and the pastor, a former cult man, he told the girl, say, what? A cult boy slapped you? Put the girl in the car, drove down there. Where is it? They got there. Say, where's the boy? So that's him. He went there, said, slap him. The girl do it like this. The man said, I will slap you now. I said, slap him. So the girl was the court boy, heavy one. The man looked the boy. If I catch you, told the girl, let's go. That's a powerful man. Yeah. He just told the girl, slap him in my presence. And the girl slapped the boy back. Said, now let's go. That boy got the point. He got the point. If your God cannot prosper you while your enemy is alive, he's not God. You should go and get another job. If he can't prosper you while your enemies are alive, he's not God. Some of these prayers that we are praying so that enemies will die, they will not die. They don't need to die. They don't need to die. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I wish Christians would pray better prayers. Anyway, what am I saying about these things? These are the things that God has done for us in Christ. Please, I'm trying to amplify something in our hearts. You've heard me say it several times. Many times here before, I say it all the time. I don't pray against witches. I don't pray against wizards. I don't pray against enemies. I don't have their time. I don't. The only prayer I pray against them is simple. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from doing evil, which was what Jesus said. I must not do evil. I must not be tempted by the devil. We'll talk about the pursuit of knowledge later. I will pursue knowledge so that I will not be, deceived by him. That's all my prayer. People pray at night. They say, dream at night. I dream that I ate in my dream. You know, imams are funny. If dreams exist, then anything you do in real life, you should be able to do in a dream. And let me say to you, I'm not teaching it now. Most dreams are nonsense dreams. There are two kinds of dreams. There are meaningless dreams, and there are revelatory dreams. Dreams are revealed. Most dreams are nonsense dreams. And it's in the Bible like that. That sometimes a hungry man sleeps. He dreams that he's eating. He wakes up, behold, he's still hungry. That scripture I just quoted for you. So God knows that people can dream all kinds of dreams. Yet Christians will be pursuing every little thing they see in dream, they are pursuing. A lot of dreams are useless dreams. A lot. Yes, there are revelatory dreams. God has revealed things to me in dreams before, many times. For me, most of them have been correction. Stop talking like that. I wake up, I knew what he was saying. I will just remember that scene. Something that just happened in the dream. Instantly, I know the correction. I fall in my head right now. Correction, each one of them. No evil spirit can harass me. That's what I'm trying to explain. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. This is what Jesus has done for me and for you too. I have never prayed in my adult life. All the witches are against me. You will not get me. My prayer is that if you are strong enough, come. If you can cross my fence, you are not a witch. I've told you my bad dream many times. My bad experience. Bat appeared in the room, air conditioner on, doors closed, mosquito net everywhere. Yet a bat flew across my room. I told my wife that day, you're very lucky that you are not married to an MFM pastor. You for pray this night, in fact, only prayer. You and your children, I will starve all of you for 3 days. But my wife, having the same spirit of God, just said in passing, oh, see bat. I said, oh, where is it? And that bat at that point flew into the wardrobe. And I closed the door on it because we had visitors. When I came back up, I opened the door, trapped the bat into a basket. I said, please help me throw it away. It missed its way. God in heaven knew that my wife didn't think we should pray about it. I most certainly was not going to pray about it. It was not a prayer point. It's a bat. There's a world of difference between bats and prayer points. A bat is an animal. It flies. A rodent that flies. Did I pray about it? For what? I have found scorpions before. There was a day I was sleeping when I was in Transekulu years ago. And an angel, I guess, just woke me up. Say, wake up. There's a scorpion right above your head. Didn't see anything. All I did, I just opened my eyes and I saw a scorpion right on the ceiling, above my head. If it drops, it drops on my head. That part of Transekulu, scorpions. I don't know whether you ever live near that area. Plenty. Plenty in that area. You know the truth, I just got up. I wonder, you know, insecticides, good ones can kill scorpions. I just sprayed it in. Carried it, threw it away. It was not a prayer point. It's a scorpion. It's a scorpion. I as well explain it. It's not a witch. It's a scorpion. And when you see scorpions near your house, you kill it. Throw it away. You don't start praying. In the name of Jesus, they came to get me in the afternoon. They will not get me. The ones at night, they will not succeed. They knew before. Why are you making all this noise? Oh, what am I talking about? These are the things that God has done for us in Christ Jesus. It gives us confidence. We're not afraid of tomorrow. That is why we can serve him. That's where I'm going with all the talk, just to make this statement. We can serve him with a whole heart. He has been too good. That's what I'm explaining. He has been too good. He has done so much for you. He has done so much for me. We don't negotiate with him. Say, God, I will do this so you can do back for me. God said, when I was doing all of these things, where were you? That's what I'm trying to preach. Please, people of God, follow hard after him. Enough of using him as a method of getting things. He doesn't need all of those things. I told you, many of you have been fasting and fasting and fasting, and God has not yet answered. Do you know why? You want to guess? He wants you to eat. I'm not joking. They say, in heaven, they say, Lord, he has come again. Say, who? Say, okay, Mote. Say, what does he want again? Say, has he eaten? He said, no. He said, leave him there. Please, my message to you today, tell your neighbor, go and eat.